Welcome to part two of my conversation about T2 with TJ.
Have you ever seen the movie Southland Tales? You ever see Donnie Darko?
I know I should.
So Donnie Darko is the movie that director made after he made Donnie Darko. And it's supposed to be like a literal retelling of the Book of Exodus.
Oh,
no,
really?
No, I'm sorry, the Book of Revelations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In modern day Los Angeles. It's very, very confusing and makes absolutely no sense and ruined his career. But that movie comes with a six comic book prequel and like a six comic book sequel.
Okay.
That you have to, if you read all of those, then theoretically you'll understand the movie.
Do you think that that's a problem?
I mean, I think 100% that's a problem, you know, like maybe, you know, and that whole thing of like you need to prepare for stuff. But I think also, you know, they're making movies for specific people now,
right?
You know, and they want that like core fandom to spend their money and come see the movie and, you know, really care about what they're making.
Yeah.
So I think they make movies for that kind of niche audience now, or they certainly make part of the movie for them, right?
It's almost like movies are now becoming supplemental goods. It's like you could enjoy this on its own, but it's made even better if you read this comic book
first, or
if you watch this other
hear the album and
TV series. Like the Star Wars TV series are definitely doing that, where it's like you can watch The Mandalorian, but if you watch it and then read the companion comic book, and obviously you probably wouldn't be watching it if you've never seen Star Wars movies, but you know, those even make it that much more, you know, it's like you almost get rewarded.
Right, I think that's the weird way to put it. It's like,
like
the Clone Wars, the TV show. You know, like sometimes I've seen like the, you know, Katie hadn't seen Star Wars when we met, so I had her rewatch it in the machete version or the razor version. It's called, where you watch it. It's a slightly different order.
Yeah.
And that one you don't watch episode one at all. we watched it at the end, but there's a version of that where you watch the Clone Wars. You watch all four or five seasons of the Clone Wars in the middle. I was like, I'm not going to put her through that. You know. But like there's a lot in there that gets fleshed out, but you don't know it.
Right.
You know,
like you could watch the original prequel series on their own and be fine. But if you watch the Clone Wars, which takes place between number two and three, it's only that much more enhanced.
Right.
And then watching the Clone Wars allows for you to enjoy when Cad Bane shows up in the Mandalorian or in Boba Fett.
If you say, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm not there, but
like appears and again, fan service. It's
Here's
your reward for spending all that time watching this show. We'll throw it in there for you. It's like we've gone beyond just Easter eggs and cameos. Like it used to be cameos. Like you watch from the same time period, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and Sean Connery shows up at the end. He's King Richard. There's a cameo. You know, like it wasn't like if they made that movie now, which I think they're due for another Robin Hood. It's been a couple years, and if they do that movie now, it would be like, you know, he would appear in all these other TV shows.
And then you'd see him
in the movie. You're like, oh yeah, I know that guy.
Well, I mean, how many times has Arnold said, "I'll be back"?
Right.
You know, like he might as well just winking, just winking at the camera now when he says it. You know.
Cause it's so funny because that was just a throwaway line in the original movie. It had nothing to do with really the plot or anything. It was just, I'd be back. And then it becomes his thing. And even in this one, even in Terminator 2, he says it, does kind of a winky thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it, because the movie is so fantastic, it's okay. Like, I'm okay with that.
It's one of those movies that any 5 minutes of or 20 minutes of is just rewatchable till the end. You know, it's just...
Yeah, like I could immediately... Like, I think I would put Terminator 2, Judgment Day... And I know it has a lot to do when it came out in my life, but I would easily put that top 10 movies.
Oh yeah,
time.
No problem.
It's so well done.
The pinball, we were talking about pinball earlier. The pinball version of it's really good too.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's an excellent pinball game.
And it says something about the story and just the motif and the themes of it that, you know, and with this game itself, it draws you in. It really. Like those opening scenes in the movie where you see the future and it's skulls everywhere and it's, you know, the apocalypse. You know, I remember on New Year's Eve 1999 turning into 2000, I was like, I've seen Terminator 2.
Skynet's coming.
I'm right. I'm like, I know this isn't the actual date that she predicted, but like something's going to happen and tomorrow's going to look like that. So I better get ready for something. You know, it was that. that much of an effect on me that I definitely saw it. So, like, this Genesis game, it says something, I think, about the time period that because, you know, not to the same degree now, but there was enough media, a flurry of media swirling around that they have to doubly ensure the audience. They're like, look, this is the one from the arcade.
Right. This is what you played yesterday.
Right. This isn't some brand new thing. Right. This isn't the other crappy one. This is the one that you were in the arcade saying, I really want to have this at home. And it's almost like, we know it's not going to be the same thing. Yeah. But, you know, and that says something, I think, about the overall market. You know, it was like the teenagers and had the money. You know, the young kids had access to they could get this game at home, you know, save up their money from mowing lawns or whatever. You know, there was some kind of revenue flow for them that this was...
What did a Sega game cost back then, anyway?
I have
no idea.
Pretty high, $60 probably. Oh, really? For, you know, that's why we rented them. You know, we didn't own
right.
it. But, like, something like this wouldn't work for a parent. You know, they wouldn't be like, okay, like, I'm not even going to... I don't want to buy this for my kid anyway. But, like, it's definitely for the kids with the photograph of the game itself in the, you know, in the arcade. Like you said, remember this from yesterday? Remember this from when you were at the mall last week and you could smell the filet of fish from Burger King in the, you know, and you were playing this game?
It also reminds me of Independence Day, like T2, ID4.
Yeah, they did that. They totally ripped that off.
But there was no video game for Independence Day. I don't remember that at all.
If there was, I'm sure it just fit into that minutia of like Judge Dredd and...
This exists.
After a while, they were just churning them out. You know, because like this one came out, I would say, at the, you know, kind of the apex of... Yeah, this is 1992, so a year after the movie came out. It was like hitting that... It was hitting that like high... watermark for Sega and those kind of games where they just kind of got lazy after the 90s continued on, and so did movies go. Like, I was talking to somebody the other day about this, about the Ninja Turtles movie, the original one, and you know, that's 1990 and it's really good, but then movies by the he put it so well, he said by the end of the 90s movies just get schlocky, you know, they just like kind of, and I feel like Independence Day was like that turning point. I saw Independence Day in the theater, and I was so excited for it because it looked cool, and they had the ID4, and I'm like, that's just like T2. It's so simple. I saw it like opening weekend, and by the time that the dog was running for its life and jumping into the, I was like, this is so dumb. Like, I can't wait to leave. Like,
I was 13 when that came out, so that was like my favorite movie for too long, you know. And we all got the VHS for Christmas that year, and. You know,
it's just updated version of War of the Worlds,
right
for the 90s. You know, it's,
I mean, every line that Will Smith says is basically a punchline, or
welcome to Earth,
right? Hope you got an airbag, right. You know. Which might
think it was said to Chris Rock last year.
The Never Stop Stopping Pop Star, which is a movie about like Andy Samberg, where he plays like a pop, has a song that's only like every line is a. Like a catch line or a catchphrase, you know.
So he doesn't, no original.
There's no original thought, right? It's just like, you know, like random nonsense every time, and that's exactly, you know, that Independence Day thing.
It was pretty much
right.
Just
it's just
one
where,
movie
right?
Of that.
I saw a clip of all of Rihanna's lines from Battleship, and every single one of them is one line and like one word and ends with an exclamation point, like run, jump. Oh my god, you know, just every single thing over
she
and over.
She should have performed that last week at the Super Bowl. I done a monologue of all of her Battleship.
She was really good at dancing while her music played in the background, I thought.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with her.
Well,
overall.
It looked like a video game, too. The setup of it with, like, the levels. And
I didn't realize
like
how many songs were Rihanna. That's what I learned.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's her. That's.
I hate to say it, because when she was becoming popular, that was around the time that I kind of stopped listening intently to the radio. Oh. I was like, this is on, but I'm not, like, into it.
Right.
And I was feeling the same way, too. I was like... Yeah. Oh. Okay. So.
So
yeah,
isn't Gronk cooking a field goal somewhere? I don't know where. The other thing was that there's a show called Community. You ever watch that show? There's a line in that. He says that there's a time and place for subtlety, and that time was before Scary Movie, which I thought was always a good line of like where, like even a lot of movies just kind of went like beyond the winking stage. Like we just know that this exists,
right?
And you know we're not really gonna try anymore. We're just gonna. re-show the exact same movie, you know, whereas like Airplane or even Robin Hood Men in Tights, like made a solid effort at parody.
Yeah.
You know, without just recreating what we had seen before. You know, Scary Movie, I feel like.
Yeah, the Mel Brooks style
right.
was one thing.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
then they just changed it completely into let's just like recognize movies.
Yeah,
like little
yeah
parts
exactly.
Of it
yeah, yeah, yeah. We're like just saying this existed, which I feel like what happened with the video game. Which
right.
is just like, hey, yes, you sell it. Yeah, yeah.
It's this. Remember? Now we're going to just
yeah,
do
yeah.
something totally
go ahead and buy it. And like, it's not for the kids to buy it. It's like, oh, I know my yeah. kid likes this game. It's here on the shelves. Here it is for Christmas. And, you know.
I know he's just storm. Repeating what I say, but I was watching TV with my son the other day, and the preview for Shazam, the new Shazam movie came out, and he was going off on it. He's not even seen the original one, but I know he's just repeating what I... But I'm like, they've made this movie at least once a year for the last 10 years of, like, superpower guy, some giant threat that's going to destroy the world, you know, funny winks to the camera and, like, blind here, and then... You know he's going to, after three climaxes, finish...
Eventually win.
You know, and win and emerge. But, you know, how many times are we going to see this? You know, in the 90s, I think that movies were at a really, really good place, you know, because there was so much... They were still so authentic. They were so... you know, even if they turned into blockbuster, like Jurassic Park-style merchandising fiestas, there was something about the way that original movie was made with a combination of good solid CGI and legitimate effects that like it continues to stay an excellent movie.
Right. You can still watch it now.
You know, even if it got ridiculous with the toys and the games and all that stuff. And Terminator 2 was the same way, where it was like authentic, real effects and a great script, great acting, and that's why even this, you know, kind of crummier version of it doesn't really, you know, the video, you know, it's like the runoff, you
right,
know,
right.
It's like this is like the bottom of the hill. Yeah, I got the genesis right. of the version of the arcade, but it's still cut above. Like
I still want to go play it, which
right.
is I'm staring at it like I want.
Too bad they don't have a Genesis
home,
here.
I
could plug it right in.
I have 64 at the house. I don't have Sega. You know, my neighbors had Sega growing up. I never had anything. My neighbors had Sega growing up. So that's when I played a lot. And my cousins had Nintendo 64. So it was pretty much only NBA Jam. And
yep.
For the longest time, I thought Auburn was called Auburn. Because that was their name on, like, the way their picture was with their logo below it. So I just thought that was, like, they were there, Auburn.
Was there. I'm worried about, because as we're talking right now, we're next to a screen that has had final game stats for an NBA Jam game. I'm worried it's going to get burned onto the screen.
I hope it does. Robert Parrish and D. Brown deserve to
be
burned into the screen, yeah.
Well, they're burned into my brain, I know that.
Right.
D. Brown with his... Oh, man. D. Brown's eyes are freaking me out. Look at him.
It was the 90s, you know. They were drug testing back then.
I'll never forget the... I remember his dunk competition. It was cool. But I'm like, he's not blindfolding himself.
Right.
His
still
arm
see.
Was
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
inches above his eyes. Like he knows what he's doing. Like,
yeah,
I wasn't fooled. It was just the idea of it.
Right,
cool.
it's the principle thing, right?
I mean, this is like going back to that was around the same time, right? It's like because they use a theme to Terminator 2 for like everything
for a while.
I remember when the Dream Team that 92, Dream Team, they played like the Terminator music when on NBC when they were showing the Dream Team, like. Yeah, they're going to terminate all these.
They use that Kill Bill music for everything for a long time, too.
Yeah.
That same just, you know, people know it. It's easy to use. I don't know what they use now. Probably
applies to everything.
Right.
You know. Well, thanks for stopping by. And
this is fun.
Having a good conversation. And awesome. Thanks again. I'll be back.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day had an extended shelf life thanks to the many, many places where its characters, images, sounds, and themes showed up throughout the early 1990s. Despite the violence and the gore, T2 has an incredible message about humanity. Unfortunately, though, the philosophical side of James Cameron's sci-fi masterpiece was chipped away each time a new offshoot of the film appeared in other media.